Hello, can you all hear me? All right. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Joan and Chris, as always, for all the work you do for this series and having me a few times now. So much appreciated. New book out this year, Murmur, and I'm going to read five poems from this collection. And I think the bio that Joan read actually does a pretty good job introducing my work. There's one poem I'll give some context to, but to start, I'm going to read this poem called A Soft, Indistinct Sound. There's a lot of definitions in this poem, so every time I do this, I'm quoting a definition and the rest is me. A soft, indistinct sound made by a person or group of people speaking quietly. All the glee swept up between decades, echoes of good times stuck in hurricanes of laughter, mistaken for small winds. To make a low, continuous sound. Not every haunting is for horror. Sometimes it's just for company. A softly spoken or almost inaudible utterance. The book of my mother and the book of my father open face to face, pages flipping past each other. To express one's discontent about someone or something in a subdued manner. Between who I am and who I want to be lies an earthquake I cannot hold. The quiet or subdued expression of a particular feeling by a group of people. The redlining of my heart, greater than or equal to the minstrelsy of property value. To say something cautiously and discreetly. Anywhere I go is an interracial space, a funhouse of mirrors with all the lights turned off. Booker T's hand stuffed into a boxing glove. A rumor. Beneath the Atlantic lies a massive aquifer of fresh water. Find me here, deep in all the water you cannot see. To say something in a low, soft, or indistinct voice. As much as there are seeds of truth, as much as there is safe soil to hold them, as much as I am my own son downtown. A recurring sound heard in the heart through a stethoscope that is usually a sign of disease or damage. Languid lips dragging over the chest, the cold cup of America listening. This next poem is called Breath, and the only, well, two things to know about it. It's based off a Radiolab episode about hearts when everyone's born and how there is a space in the heart that shuts closed forever that I just found wildly fascinating one day. And the second is I use the word allograph a lot, and if you don't know what allograph means, allograph is basically like a symbol that stands in place of another symbol. And the best way to explain that is like the Roman letter V standing in place of U. So every time you see it, you have to decide in context what it means. So, breath. What I'm saying is blood was never blue, never neatly distinguished nor diagrammed. What I'm saying is that Newton's third law states every prayer has an equal and opposite curse. What I'm saying is that all our hearts once held trap doors that helped us slip past suffocation, but a trap door can only be a trap once. Hallelujah. You were your mother's blood, her body, and yes, her breath. You carry the scar of her love, or as Newton suggests, her pain too. The heart is the only organ we describe with chambers, a place of meeting rooms meant for not meeting. What I'm saying is there was a time we all broke the rules. They want you to forget your first breaths passed through mom's lips. They want you to fall through trapdoors and disappear umbilically. Be it red or blue, your blood is an allograph of inhalation, a synonym, a murmur. What I'm saying is your last breath is the curse of your first, and all the letters of your alphabet belong to the wind, and your mother's wishes, lies, and dreams slip between the chambers of your heart because, whether broken or whole, a promise is an allograph of betrayal. Newton said it himself. That's just science. And the math is clear that our infant hearts have a word problem, hair-triggered and primed to slip out beneath us. And by us, I mean them who told you me is we. And I only know that this heartbeat of mine is a simple, persistent knock on the door asking to be let in, to be let out, to be let in again. Black holes. Consider the body. Consider the pulse and pump and thump of life within. You are, in a sense, a sentient sack of plumbing. Consider the body cavernous. A video I watch asks, how many holes does a human have? And it turns out we are not the donut we are so often colloquialized to be. A jar, a cup, a bowl, a plate. Holes only exist if there's a body to host it. The paradox of containment. In the video, I learned that openings aren't holes, just parts of holes. That a straw is one thing with two parts. Consider blackness. Consider the body black, the whole of it sucked through the kinked straw of history, opening to opening. Consider how whole lives were squeezed out of black bodies. Consider the ancestors who prayed for shipwreck, who prayed to be flooded in order to be freed. Consider the weight of what's been kept inside the spaces of our bodies in order to make it. Consider the spaces where our bodies hide, that visibility and invisibility are the same weight double stacked on blackness. Consider the weight of black holes, supermassive ghosts who lurk dark in deep space. They say at the event horizon, a body sucked in would stay frozen in time forever. Not every hole has an exit. Consider chambers and dead ends and their singular openings. Consider black descendants praying for singularity in order to be free of space and time's cruelties. Physicists consider this point so dense that the laws of physics as we know them break down. Black people might not consider this such a bad thing. How long have we prayed for a different physics? Were it not for gravity, we would bend the world wholly. As it turns out, gravity is the weakest force the universe has to offer. As it turns out, the physicists are silent on the force of justice, not even a consideration. Consider blackness, supermassive and free of gravity, bending the arc of the moral universe all the way around until it's whole. This poem is called New Fruit Humming. It's actually a response to a poem in my first book about an ex-girlfriend, and that's all I'll say. I'm here to say sorry, because you definitely said splotchy, because I definitely heard splotchy, because I definitely told everyone about how you said splotchy with your eyes cast down, and everyone said, ain't that some shit? Because who the hell talks about their kids like that? So I'm here to say sorry, because I didn't stay silent. And what I really said was, I know, or yeah, and took a bite of the pear in my hand because we were under an apple tree and you brought pears. And I thought, how strange is this? Never doubting the taste in my mouth, never doubting what I tasted wasn't the flesh of the fruit, never admitting that to you because compromise tasted like oranges. So we just lied and lied and lied. And I've lied about this story before. We weren't in bed because we were definitely under an apple tree, as much as an apple tree can be a bed, and it was definitely hotter than August, though the sun said April, and you said, it just worries me. And now I'm here to say sorry, because I was wrong to believe you were afraid of anything, because my blackness wasn't anything to be afraid of, because my blackness wasn't anything to you. I don't tell people we were under a tree because a bed is a better place to lie or a better place to lay, because I still mix up lane and line, because the story is still so mixed up I don't know if it even matters, because forgiveness is an act of retelling. And forgiveness is an act of retelling. And forgiveness is an act of retelling. When I think back on that day, I start to cry. Not because I'm sad, but because my left eye and my right eye can't put you together, and it hurts to try, because you were so mixed up, because you were so afraid of us mixing, and that's why we were under a tree and not in a bed, and that's why my blackness is afraid of nothing, and that's why it's so hard to lie sometimes. I loved you. And I'd be lying if I said, I'm sorry, you loved me. And now there's new fruit humming in the old fruit tree. Last poem. It's called Ghost Lessons. There are redactions that are blacked out in this, so you'll hear me snap whenever I come across those. My great-great-great-grandmother stares at me in sepia. We both stand in our own classrooms. History has a funny way of being a hallway, an isthmus, or sometimes a thimble, covering what hopes to avoid piercing. How do you hold a family together? Pin this. Portia would flourish her hands in bidwist to show off her friends, diamonds on different fingers. What hands can hold is often all that's passed on, often. My grandmothers pulled thread through Pittsburgh, master seamstresses, their hands stitching steel through cloth, white passing palms and soft pulses beneath skin, which can be a thimble itself if you let the pin pricks and teach you. I have learned teaching is a thing of the blood. Dad taught me when to tuck my tongue in my pocket, when to listen. When they speak, my elders drop A's from their days, so it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Ancestry is one giant game of telephone echoed through tin can decades. Pin this. Porky hiding happiness deep in his dimples. Pin this. Spoogie and Pigeon took the yellow boat out in LA, and the sea nearly took them. A name is a story, and Dad taught me not to tell all my stories at once. Then we both forgot. I remind myself there's, in remembrance, a heaven all around me. A ghost of mine is colorblind when it looks out at the world. A ghost of mine is colorblind when it looks at itself. What right do I have to play the prism? My matriarchs pulled legacy through eyes of steel, and still so many people in my family have tried or failed or succeeded at leaving this land. Sometimes I almost believe I understand. Pin this. The Barnetts backstitched love into this land to make sure I'd always feel held, even when I knit negativity out of whole cloth or search for purpose in my pinpricks. My grandmother's new needles pull more than thread. I'm searching their patterns for all the lessons of ancestry left behind. How to mend your heart. How to be a better man. How to be black. How black to be. How to write the story of yourself. Thank you.